Hello, it's Game On and I'm Adam Rossern. Little things that are actually big business are Skylanders. They were one of this Christmas's big sellers. It's a slice of the gaming collectible pie that Disney want in on with their new Infinity device. Now, unfortunately, I wasn't able to get along to the launch of the Disney Infinity, but Andy Robertson, Wired's geek dad, was, and he's here to tell us more. Andy, what is Disney Infinity?
At first appearances, it is a lot like Skylanders, so it has the same plastic toy figures, and you put them on what looks like a Skylander-style portal, and then they appear in the game. But as you look a bit closer, there are some quite key differences. One of them is that it's a much more modular experience, so Disney Infinity is set up to sort of work around the different Disney franchises. So you have a story element, and you put that story block on the Disney Infinity portal, and then you have an adventure to play in the world of a particular franchise, whether that's Cars, Pirates of the Caribbean. But in those stories, you can only use the figures that go with that particular franchise rather than the whole collection. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of broken down into smaller chunks.
Okay. You have a game universe, you have a key to a particular area in the game universe, and then you have figures that work with that key. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, then you also have sort of an overarching toy box space. This is a little bit like the toy box feature in the Toy Story game from the same developer. And in there, that's where you can sort of mix and match any of the toy figures. And you can also create your own games, a little bit like the game creation of Little Big Planet on the PlayStation.
Okay, sounds like they're doing a lot of things. We'll get closer to that. But you actually sat down with someone at the event you were at and spoke to them. Now, who was that?
They made a big launch announcement, a lot of hullabaloo out in Hollywood, and I sat down with John Blackburn, and I asked him, you know, were these figures actually always an integral part of the game, or did they come along afterwards?
Right off the bat, when we talked to John Lasseter, he really said, look, I want a collectible line of toys that goes along with this. So we went ahead, and everything in the game was designed as a virtual toy as well. So everything in the game is a virtual toy, and then we had designed the actual figurines themselves right from the get-go. So this was actually an idea that came up a long time ago.
And how about the fact that you got play sets for different franchises, but you can only use the figures from that particular franchise? Was there ever a mode in the game where you could cross different franchises?
When we first started looking at this, we thought, you know, maybe we should look into that. But it actually made everybody within Disney much more comfortable when we didn't do that. But also, if you look at this, because we're launching a platform on this, the first time we went through and just did the different combinatorial kind of math behind that, if we keep adding franchises to this, and all the franchises, if we could go back and forth in between them, it is literally like this mind-blowing number that gets built pretty soon. So we realized really quickly that both internally within Disney, it would be easier to get a lot of the different creative, like the filmmakers and those guys, to buy into the idea if we made just a true-to-property experience.
So their characters are safe. You're going to look after them.
Yeah, they really want to make sure that both their characters and the worlds, you know, are safe. And then the toy box mode really became just a paradigm of that. Everybody can get their head around. It's like, this is like your bedroom floor. You know, we're giving you a game to play, but we're also giving you your bedroom floor, and you can play however you want to. And that really got everybody's mind around, okay, yeah, it is okay to let you guys do this and do this mashup that's a little bit interesting and different for Disney.
Well, that was John Blackburn talking to you in Hollywood. Not that I'm jealous. What else was he saying to you? I mean, you sat down with the devices. How similar are they to Skylanders? Can we tell?
One of the issues is, were the figures a similar quality to Skylanders figures? And they really are. So the number of paint passes, the variety of materials being used, and just the sort of general, how nice they are to pick up and hold and use as real toys. I think it's a key thing that they've got right. But there's another difference here. Although there is data transfer between the toy and the game via the portal, there's not that same sort of role-play element, so you're not upgrading the characteristics of your character in the game in the same way that it was Skylanders. There was this relationship with the toy, and it was slowly getting better, and new attacks and better stats and leveling up, and that was all saved. There's information saved in the Disney Infinity toy characters, but the upgrade element is done by a separate set of plastic discs, and you put those under the toy on the portal, and that grants a temporary upgrade for that particular character. Now, these plastic discs will be sold separately in blind packs, in a foil pack like you'd get a collection of stickers.
Right.
These plastic discs, which grant upgrades and objects in the game, will be sold sort of blind. So you'll be buying them and trying to get them all in a little bit in a similar way to the Lego minifigs that they sell.
Yep.
You try and collect them all. So there's another sort of tier of merchandise, which I think works both ways, because it's quite nice. I could imagine my kids in the playground taking these in their pockets and swapping them like you used to do with football stickers. But equally, there's another sort of thing you need to buy for the game to progress in it, rather than letting you just upgrade by doing well, you know, in how far you've progressed in the game itself.
I suspect that if you launched a mechanic which was, here is this figure and it updates itself and it's enhanceable and you can take that with you to somebody else's console, I bet Activision's lawyers would be crawling all over your patent application about 5 minutes after you announced it, wouldn't they?
This is
a way around that problem, is it?
Potentially, although the rest of it seems so similar that it feels that maybe this came out of a different way of marketing and a different way of sort of seeing the game as this sort of much more of a drop-in, drop-out experience. Another element of the game which we should mention is that it does have a split-screen mode rather than Skylanders' shared screen, and it also has a four-player online co-op mode, both for the campaign and the toy box game creation, so it's sort of up in the ante there.
While they've been launching Disney Infinity, they've also been losing jobs in other creative areas and closing one of the studio that gave them Epic Mickey. So what are we looking at here? Is Disney sort of refocusing itself, making its game production arm that bit leaner and meaner?
Yeah, I think there's an interesting sort of shift in focus. Disney Interactive, you know, they've not been profitable for a number of quarters now, as I understand it. And the biggest, most profitable game in their children's family market is Skylanders. So I think they're making a play for that sort of franchise. But also with Disney themselves buying in Marvel and Lucasfilm with the Star Wars franchises, a game like Disney Infinity is sort of ready-made to sort of leverage that in quite an efficient way. So they can just bring out an additional playset for, say, Star Wars or Spider-Man or something like that. It's not going to cost as much to develop as a brand new game, so there's an efficiency there.
It's not just a game, it's actually more of a platform, yeah?
Yeah, exactly, and that's sort of how they're talking about it, and I think that there's some legitimacy to that.
As Disney launch Infinity, Activision have started talking about the new Skylanders, the one that's going to come out later this year. It's evolving, it's going HD, and it's getting a rather more interestingly mechanical dimension, isn't it, Andy?
The big innovation here, and they're calling it Skylanders Swap Force, and that refers to the new figures, the Swap Force figures, which have torsos that detach so you can take apart their legs and their bodies, and then you can mix and match these particular figures to create your own Skylanders, and once you sort of click them together with a magnet, and then when you put them on the portal, they get the particular abilities that are related to in each half of the toy. So rather than just having a static set of toys, you've got this sort of way to create your own.
Andy, one of the words they use, one of the phrases they use, is Toys to Life. Now, what do you think Toys to Life is about?
They're trying to make this very strong link between the toy and the game, and sort of saying that this is the moment when you put the toy on the portal. They call it this magic moment when the toy comes to life. And it's obviously language that they want to sort of use and I guess brand this sort of experience. When Disney Infinity announced their game, there was a statement from Activision that referenced this, you know, welcoming another competitor in their Toys to Life brand. So it's certainly a way of looking at the game that's very specific to how their technology works.
Yeah, and a way of controlling that sort of headspace.
It's like the Hoover, isn't it, of the video game toy world, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Du Habala is the studio head and co-founder of Vicarious Visions. They're building Swap Force for Activision. And I asked him what Toys to Life meant.
The guiding principle of Skylanders is bringing toys to life at its heart. It's about toys that are fun, that are collectible, that are playable on their own, but if you join them with a video game, they have a whole nother level of identity. And likewise, a video game on its own is not as complete without the physical presence of the toy. So bringing the toys to life is a central principle in what we do with Skylanders and all of their adventures.
Mm. And how important is collectability to that equation? Because you have done a number of things, or there are a number of things in the game which lead me to suspect that at the front of the mind was the idea of not just one, many.
When we invented Skylanders at Activision, it was with a mindset that children really like a variety of different characters and a variety of things. And so they start playing with one character, they really enjoy switching to another. And so the adventure is built upon the right hero for the job, the right Skylander for the job. So having a collection actually enriches the experience.
You've dropped Skystones, though. That's terrible. Why drop Skystones? That's a bit I really enjoyed.
Skystones is a great feature of Giants. We'll have new ones that players can enjoy in Swap Force.
No CCG of Skystones, though, no?
You know, I'm not going to talk about that today.
When I sat down last year with the guys from Mind Candy who make Moshi Monsters, they were talking about synergy and the relationship between their products and the constellation of stuff that comes with it. But the one sense I got from them was that you could not be cynical. You could not necessarily, just because you had this license to print money, mm-hmm. do whatever the hell you liked with it. Mm-hmm. Now, do you feel like that as well? You're producing 16 new core characters, 16 new these swappable characters. That's 32 characters. Mm-hmm. So somebody could say, why do you need 32 new characters with the launch of the new game? You're going to be charging people full price for the base state, you know, all those sorts of things. So what's the answer?
What we find is that our audience really likes the variety. They're not required to buy the full collection. They may not want to. We do find a sizable audience that would like to collect everything that we provide and really enjoy the richness of the canvas that we paint. Our job is to make that possible and available. Now, one thing I would say in terms of the ease of doing this, it's actually much more challenging for us to create a larger cast than a smaller cast, especially so where each character is differentiated, is unique in its personality, in the look, in the animations and moves and balances. In a lot of ways, it's a tremendous amount of focus and energy that goes into creating every one of these characters, not a simple matter of hitting print and making more. The success that we've had with Skylanders makes it an important part of Activision's overall offering as a business. And that's really great. But at the center of all of that is, what kind of value do we provide to consumers? What kind of magic can we preserve in Skylanders? I personally have made so many different games over time. And anytime you take the consumer for granted, that's the wrong track. Really front and center for us is keeping the consumer really at the center of our focus.
That's Stu Habala from Vicarious Visions. Now, Andy, Swapforce, is there enough of a change? Is there enough going on to bring more people into the franchise, to bring another wave along?
I think so. I quite like Swapforce. I felt like Giants actually did too much, really. It introduced the Series 2 figures, the Lightcore figures, the Giants themselves. And so you had a lot of new stuff going on. With Swapforce, it's basically the same as Giants, and there's obviously other new figures coming in, but the only real innovation is are these Swapforce characters. And I like the way that it's a physical innovation as well. So playing with them on the living room floor, essentially what you've got is a semi-articulated character, so you can sort of split them apart if they maybe come a cropper in some road accident that you're playing, or you can sort of, as I said, articulate them. So I think it adds a physical play element. Take that into the game and the way you can switch and swap between different characters. I think I quite like it. It wasn't what I was expecting. It certainly looks pretty good.
It's always nice to be surprised, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I just thought they would do something similar again, and maybe just do like Skylanders minis or something like that. Again, they've done quite a lot, so that's quite good.
And that was Wired UK's Geek Dad, Andy Robertson, with Adam, and it's just after 3:30.